Hear the bells, hear them ring, proclaiming the birth of a king. Hear the bells, hear them ring, proclaiming the birth of the king. When the Christmas tree's been packed away and the decorations gone, and the Christmas cards have been folded up and put away for now, January is a brand new month, the new year has come, and Christmas Day's just a memory of all the good times and fun. Jesus is the reason for the season, let's not pack him away. Open your eyes, open your heart, and let him show you the way. Jesus is the reason for the season, let's not pack him away. Open your eyes, open your heart, and let him show you the way. Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a safe and Happy New Year. When I lead worship, I always struggle to try and get the right balance of praise, confession, and submission. We all know that God created and loves each and every one of us, and that he expects us to love him back. One way I find to tell God I love him is to use music and song. As you just saw and heard, once Christmas is over, too many people, mainly non-Christians, just pack everything away and then forget about Christ until the next big celebration, Easter. This year, and in particular right now, I want us all to make one promise, or for want of a better word, a resolution, that we commit our lives to showing God just how much we love him. And in order to get things off to a good start, please remain seated as we sing our first two songs.
To one.
that to the Lord. Merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned, in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord. For we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Please remain seated.
Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
All right, it's time for the notices. The only notice that I have this morning from me, and I've got one coming from Marge, is to do with the January worship. As you all know, during January, the worship team, we don't have a Thursday practice. We only get together on a Sunday morning and do a rehearsal, and then we do worship. If you feel like you have some sort of ability, maybe to play this thing, maybe help Digby or whoever on the guitar, maybe you have a nice voice that you'd like to sing, come up here and join us in singing, please speak to either myself, Dave McAvanna, or Rob Fudge when he's around, and they'll be happy to have you come and join them on a Sunday morning, and then maybe, if it works out and you like it, you might want to do it during the normal rosters as well. So that's it. Marge, you got a notice about Friday, friends?
Thank you. Adrian asked me if I would remind you all that the last Friday in January is Friday Friends. It also happens to be Australia Day. So we are planning a really fun morning for Friday Friends.
Aussie.
Beg your pardon?
Aussie.
We're sort of searching out traditional Australian food. Rob and I think Digby are probably planning some who knows what, but when they did it last time, it was a lot of fun. So it would be lovely if you could bring your friends to something that celebrates who we are as Australians, but also celebrates who we are as Christians, and just to have that opportunity to share in a happy environment, that would be wonderful. So 26th, 10 to 11:30, with all sorts of surprises in store. So please be here.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 8. The people make an idol to worship. After the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, they went to Aaron and said, "Make us an image of a God who will lead and protect us. Moses brought us out of Egypt, but nobody knows what has happened to him." Aaron told them, "Bring me the gold earrings that your wives and sons and daughters are wearing." Everybody took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. Then he melted them and made an idol in the shape of a young bull. All the people said to one another, "This is the God who brought us out of Egypt." When Aaron saw what was happening, he built an altar in front of the idol and said, "Tomorrow we will celebrate in honor of the Lord." The people got up early the next morning and killed some animals to be used for sacrifices and others to be eaten. Then everyone ate and drank so much that they began to carry on like wild people. The Lord said to Moses, "Hurry back down. Those people you led out of Egypt are acting like fools. They have already stopped obeying me and have made themselves an idol in the shape of a young bull. They have bowed down to it, offered sacrifices, and said that it is the God who brought them out of Egypt." The second reading is from the first book of this first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 16 to 23. "All of you surely know you are God's temple, and His Spirit lives in you. Together you are God's holy temple, and God will destroy anyone who destroys His temple. Don't fool yourselves. If any of you think they are wise in the things of this world, you will have to become foolish before you can be truly wise. This is because God considers the wisdom of this world to be foolish. It is just as the scripture says, 'God catches the wise,' and when they try to outsmart him, the scriptures also say, 'The Lord knows that the plans made by wise people are useless.' So stop bragging about what anyone has done. Paul and Apollos and Peter all belong to you. In fact, everything is yours, including the world, life, death, the present, and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. This is the word of the Lord.
As we share in prayer this morning, let us remember that to do so is to deliberately open our hearts to the touch of God. As we pray for others, God might just put a challenge upon our hearts to actually do more than pray. God often calls us to be the answer to our prayers. In this time and place, we seek to lift up to God our broken world, not because God does not know what is happening, but because we, as his disciples, wish to find ways in which we can do our part to make it better. So, let us set all other thoughts aside as we come to God this morning with a listening ear, an open heart, and a desire to pay attention to what God will lay upon our hearts for our family, our friends, our church, and our community. So allow yourself to let go of what is done and listen for what is to come. Holy One, name above all names, we long to be faithful stewards of your love, to know, love, and serve each other with humility, wisdom, and grace. But we confess, Lord God, at times the world around us and far from us is so full of despair that we can't imagine how we can make it any better. We need you, Lord, to calm our disquieted souls and to empower us as we face the hurting world around us. There are so many people in our community who live with despair as they try to make ends meet and care for their families in these very challenging economic times. Sometimes it seems just too hard and they cannot see a clear way forward and tragedies happen. Thank you for individuals and organisations who offer help and support to ease their burdens, physical, emotional, and practical. Please, Lord, help us as a church community to actively seek ways to be bearers of your love and care to the people around us who are struggling at this time. Gracious God, in whom is all goodness, will there ever be true justice and fairness in our world while there are multi-million dollar payouts to some, while others are wrapped in a sleeping bag on the cold pavement under an awning? Oh, where, Lord, is equity and fairness? And children committing horrible crimes with no consideration for another's property. They are so lost, Lord. They should be enjoying their childhood, not destroying it. People become afraid and don't know what to do. We pray for wisdom as authorities deal with these very complicated situations. Road accident victims, young and not so young, families bereft and struggling to make sense of it all, domestic violence victims. Oh Lord, the darkness, pain and struggle continues. We pray that authorities can bring change, but so much is about the state of a person's heart. Nothing will change until people choose a better way, a kinder way, a more tolerant way, your way. Lord, touch those hearts, we pray. Help the broken to be mended and discover what really life can be like. We pray for all those caring people whose task and life call it is to help others find their way. Help us to truly be your ambassadors in this despairing world. Caring God, we lift up to you those in our local community who often, through no fault of their own, struggle with life. Homelessness, illness, loneliness, loss of dignity, grief, and continual pain. We pray that you will help us to love with your kind of love, that in some way we might make a difference to their lives where they touch ours. Lord, we also pray for political leaders. Lord God, we elect people to positions of power and trust, and we trust that they will have the good of the people at heart. But so often self-interest, greed and arrogance take them over, and dissension and conflict occur. Lord, we pray they might understand that leadership is a privilege and make good decisions which can bring positive change for the people who have trusted them. Please grant them wisdom and courage to stand up for what is right and life-giving for those whom they serve. And now, Holy One, with deep sadness, we lift to you innocent people caught up in the wars which are raging across our world, especially the Middle East and the Ukraine. So many people killed, so many little children, so many innocent victims. The list is so long. We can but ask that you will somehow empower the leaders to bring all this hate and power struggles to an end. It is devastation and destruction beyond our imagination. So we must leave it with you as we continue to pray for peace for those so hugely affected. Gentle God, there are those whom we know personally who have their own deep struggles, and we pause as we name them before you in silence. And for those of our congregation who are fighting their own life battles, may your gentle healing, gracious hand be upon them, and may you meet them in their need. Holy One, there are so many issues on our minds, so many things beyond our ability to change, but we truly believe that you hold the whole world in your hand. Every person is precious in your sight. So we trust that in your time, all things will be made whole. And now, our God, we just say thank you. We are so grateful for the progress that David has made as he continues to recover from his devastating illness. Please, we pray, give him strength and courage to keep fighting, and every week may he have new evidence of the progress he has made. And we pray also for Trevor, and thank you for his presence with us through these difficult days. Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful minds. In purer lives your service find. In deeper reverence, praise. Let us now share the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. We've come to that time of our service where we offer back to God not only a part of what he has given us, but any part of ourselves that requires changing or cleansing. The song I chose is actually the song we would sing on Good Friday. But to me, it shows just how much God loves us and how much we should love him. Please remain seated until we sing the last verse of How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Loving Father, we should give you more, but we don't. We should empty ourselves, but we don't. We should find new ways of serving you, but we don't. But Lord, what we bring, these gifts from our heart, these gifts of love to worship you, you accept and you transform them and make them an act of glory to you, as well as continuing your work in us, that we can give more generously, that we can serve more completely, and that in our love we may glorify you. Amen. Now, I did promise that I was going to walk this morning again, but I've come to like my stool. It's kind of both informal and it's closer to you. In fact, oh no, if I get too close, Digby won't be able to see me on the end. But it's just a reminder that in worship, it's about an encounter with the Spirit of God. And part of the reason I don't like pulpits is that it suggests that I am doing something wonderful and powerful, and I'm not. I am seeking faithfully to serve God in my preaching. But what transforms preaching is the Spirit working in you. And I will always do anything I can to help God so that His Spirit might be at work in you. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're having a particular encounter with God that means you don't hear half the sermon, that's okay. You know, it is the faithful act of somebody who is seeking that God's Spirit should be at work. So let's pray. Loving Father, may your Spirit be in this place. May you encounter our hearts, and may we be open to what you are saying to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes I just don't get the Israelites. I mean, I want you to think for a minute. Come the story of the Exodus. You know, Moses has caused the seas to part. And I mean, I'm not sure it was exactly like the Hollywood version in whatever year it was, where they had all the water behind the sheets of glass and some clever little camera looking down it. You know, in fact, I'm not sure how it happened. But it's pretty remarkable to have the seas open, you to walk through, and then for them to crash in on the army following you. I would think that would be memorable, don't you? I mean, I reckon that'd be pretty hard to forget that. And you know, there you are starving in the desert, and all of a sudden God sends all these dumb birds to fly and get on the ground so that you can belt them on the head and take them home and have something to eat. And then have stuff fall out of the sky so that you can take that home and eat it too. I reckon that'd be pretty remarkable, don't you? I don't think I'd forget that. And what about, you know, Moses belting a rock with his staff because the water in it was no good and it came out pure and clear and was good drinking water? I reckon I'd remember that. Yeah? You know, these are pretty remarkable events. Very hard to forget. And yet Moses goes up the mountain for a long time. We don't know how long, but the expectation is it was 1 to 2 months. It's a long time. And what happens? The people of Israel forget. They forget that it was God who did all this stuff. Now that's pretty remarkable, isn't it? I don't get how you could forget all those things came from God. It doesn't seem natural to me, and yet they did it. They forgot. And so they go to Aaron, and I've never quite got Aaron in this. It seemed to me he was rather a better leader than this shows. But he says, go on, all your earrings, take them off, bring them to me, we'll melt them down. And they make an idol. I don't think it's any surprise that in the Ten Commandments that Moses brings down from the mountain, that thou shalt have no idols is one of the top few. You know, one of those first four ones about how you love God. The people forgot God. People of Israel forgot. I think that's a remarkable thing, isn't it? All the things that God had done for them. And yet they quite simply forgot who did it. I'm not sure they forgot the actual events, but they forgot who did it. It's a bit like forgetting who your mother is, isn't it? You know, you might remember all the things your mother did, but who would forget who their mother is? Well, some of you might, but I don't think I would. You know, the good and the bad. But they forgot. Now, to be fair to the people of Israel, after they'd ground up the gold bull and all had a little chew on it, read later in the chapter for that, but they learnt. And the people of Israel came up with a whole way of remembering their salvation history, their Heilsgeschichte. I just like the word. Okay? It's a particular form of history. They actually created a different way of understanding history, in which was the history became the history of their salvation. And at the core of understanding history right was an understanding of what God had done in it. Okay, so history no longer became absent of God, it became full of God. And that was very important. And in fact, the Israelites, the Jews, were very strong on it. You know, "Hear, O Israel," was so often the cry as they started a psalm, and you look at the psalms and many of them tell the story of their salvation. They remember it. When you celebrate the Passover at home, and I forgot to check this, it's either 7 or 9 psalms are read. Okay, I did forget to check whether it was 7 or 9, but in either case it's a lot. Okay, when you're having dinner around the table on Christmas Day, do you even read the Christmas story? No. But for the Jews who had been through what it was to forget God, they always told the Psalms that reminded them of what God had done. It's remarkable, isn't it? They learnt the lesson. And so again and again and again, it would be, "Hear, O Israel." And implied is that in that is, "Hear, O Israel, and remember." For the people of Israel, they had to remember God. Now you'd say, "Well, I'd never forget God." And whilst that may be true, it's only partly true. Because it's amazing how often we forget what God has done for us. You know, I have seen over 40 years of ministry lots of people who I know God has done wonderful and miraculous things in, and then all of a sudden they stop coming to church. And when you go and talk to them, they say, "Oh, I've lost my faith. Or it just doesn't seem important anymore." And I go, "But I was there. I was there with you when your life was transformed. I was there when God answered your prayers. You know? Or you told me all about what God had done." And yet somehow it had slipped to the back of their consciousness. And it no longer is something which forms the way they live their life. And so whilst I cannot believe that people can forget, yet I know they do. Now sometimes, You know, things happen that where you don't realize that God is using you. When I was 16 and knew everything, don't 16-year-olds know everything? I remember Arthur Jackson was a minister at the church where I was growing up. And actually, I was 18. I should lie. I shouldn't lie. I was 18. You know, but I went into his study and I said, Arthur, the church is a load of rubbish. You know what you can do with your church? Yeah, told you, I knew everything. And Arthur, being such a gracious man, he said to me, Trevor, you can do what you like with the church, but what are you going to do with Jesus? I talked to him about it years later because our paths kept crossing, as happens in the church. And he said, did I say that? That was good. You know? You know, and it's true. I have sometimes been sitting with people, talking with them about matters of faith, and I'm hearing words coming out of my mouth and I'm going, where's a pen? I want to write that down, you know? Because there's a wisdom that's happened that's beyond my wisdom. That God has used me. And I can't forget that that happened. I remember in a similar period, just after I told Arthur what to do with the church, being on the front lawn at Emmanuel College down at Nova Gardens. And I was there for I don't know what the weekend was. It was a precursor to the June long weekends. You know, it was sort of so far ago that they hadn't started. And, you know, we were sent out to do something on that oval. It was a cold, clear night. I remember that. But God had been dealing with me. And I went out there and whatever it was that I was supposed to do, I didn't do. But I did have a deep conversation with God, in which I came to know that I was God's beloved child. And I knew it. I felt it. I heard it. Do you think I could ever forget that? Or when I've prayed with people. I remember praying with a lady called Margaret, and I have told you this story before. We were in a country place, and Margaret had a breast screen, and she was asked to go to Adelaide for further tests, and they thought it was cancer. And we prayed together, and she went to Adelaide, and they said, we don't know why they've sent you. For her, there was healing. Now, I know Margaret never forgot that. But do you think I could forget it? I mean, I did nothing. All I was the faithful person who prayed with her. That's all I was. I was faithful and prayed with her. God did something. Do you think I can forget that? Or my most favourite story of the things that God's done that I can't forget is that many years ago I got asked to consider going to Kangaroo Island. So Sue and I went over there and we did all the things that you need to do, and we thought about it, and in the end we said, there are all these things wrong with it, we can't go. For a variety of reasons. But we'd prayed about it and come to that conclusion. And some weeks later, there was a presbytery meeting. And I was in a different presbytery. We were down at Semaphore at the time. And one of the people from Kangaroo Island, who's now a good friend, a guy called Des Pratt, was staying with his brother-in-law, who was the Baptist minister at Lefevre. So, you know, he was just down the road. And he came and he said, look, I really want to thank you for the seriousness with which you dealt with this. I'm really sorry you're not coming, but, you know, I can tell that you took it seriously. And we had. But of course, what that did was it stirred us up. And Sue and I went to bed that night. Before we went to bed, we prayed because it was on our heart. We woke up in the morning, looked at each other and said, we should be going to Kangaroo Island. So we made some phone calls because I knew who to ring. And by lunchtime, it was all stitched up that we were going to Kangaroo Island. And this is the bit that I really regret. They had their presbytery meeting that night, and Des was there, and that they announced that we were going to Kangaroo Island. And I felt so sorry for poor Des, but gee, I wanted to be a fly on the wall and see his face. Because the night before, we weren't going. But on that day, we were. You see, I'm recounting my salvation history, or parts of it, to you. Why? They're fun stories. They're good stories. But they're my stories. What's your salvation history? What are the things that God has done in your life? And how do you remember them? Or have they just slipped into the background? Something that happened a long time ago and you don't really think about because life is full of other things. You know, has there never been a special Easter when you have felt again the wonderful, powerful love of God in that He chose you? Has there never been a Christmas when after everything has been taken away, the baby in the manger is still transforming your life? This morning we did that, took away all the other stuff and left the baby in the manger as we thought about Christmas. What is your salvation history? What are all the things that God has done in you? Do you actively choose to remember them so that your life might be formed on the things that God has done in you? And how should you remember them? Well, you could sing a song or write a song. We heard one of them this morning. But also, you may be like me and somebody who gets near the tune most of the time. But you could write it down. You could write your own psalm. Your psalm of what God has done in you. You don't have to put the whole story. Remember, this is a reminder for you, not the whole story. And you could read it. I would recommend about once a week. And you might go, but I know that. Yep, that's the point. That you remember it. And what better to do before church on Sunday morning than read your own psalm of your salvation history? Your Heilsgeschichte. Your history that has meaning because God is in it. So I want to encourage you to write your own psalm. Not all of you will do it, I know that. But I pray that some of you do it. And find the power of recounting what God has done in you. We do forget. Oh, we don't forget, but we don't give the power to what God has done in us that it deserves. We don't remember it as the powerful intervention of God in our lives. We don't remember it as a powerful transformation of our lives as God works in us. We devalue it. And yet, it's such a wonderful thing. I have heard a few stories from some of you. Normally, by the time I've been in a place 5 years, I know most of them. But I haven't been here that long. But my bet, and I only bet on certainties, is that God has been at work in your lives. It's one of the remarkable truths of the church, that God is at work in people's lives in so many wonderful ways. But I'd also get that in the busyness of life, it's easy to put those things aside, you know. You've just been through Christmas where you had to sort out who was having a meal with who, at what time, and what were you going to eat. Yeah? Harder for us. We've got a vegan family in ours. One of our daughters is a vegan, so we've got all those complications. You know? But nonetheless, for everyone, Christmas is complex. And you get after it, and then you get to the slow days of January. Ah, the slow days of January. Sitting around on Boxing Day watching the first session of the test and then the opening of the Sydney Hobart. The slow days of January. The delightful slow days. But it's easy in that to lose sight of the call to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. So please, go home and write a psalm. It can be a straight prose psalm. It doesn't have to have an ABBA or an ABAB, which are the two common forms of Jewish poetry. You know, you had lines where they ended in a sound, ABBA or ABAB. They were the common forms of Jewish poetry. You know, the rhyming pattern I'm talking about. Okay. It doesn't have to be that. It can be basically just a paragraph or two or three of what God has done for you so that you can read it and remember. And then, as Israel did, to give thanks to the God who has done this in you. For it's when we give thanks to God for what he has done in and through us that we take a deeper step in discipleship, and that we begin to go to where he would have us go. So don't forget God, but particularly don't half forget God either. Let me encourage you to tell yourself your Heilsgeschichte over and again, your history with God at work in it, so that the future that you live may be a future that has God at work in it. You are God's people. You are precious. And he wants to use you so that his gospel might be heard in the world. So we're halfway through January. I hope you have lots of slow days. But when it comes to remembering God, I hope you have none. Amen.
Two more songs to do. The first one is by Reuben Morgan, and it was done by Hillsong. It's called Eagle's Wings. And the chorus of it is how we must live our lives. We ask God, come live in me all my life, take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Please stand as we sing Eagle's Wings.
Abide in me, I
There's one obvious learning out of what we've talked about today. And it's simply this. If God has been at work in your lives, and there are lots of stories of how God has been at work in your life, then it must be obvious that God is still at work. And if that's obvious, then as you go from this place, you're not going into an empty world. You're going into a world where God wants to work in you. So as we leave this place, may you go expectant for the signs that God is at work among you. And may you go expectant that the love of God surrounds you always. Amen.
And if anything has spoken to you this morning, please feel free. There'll be someone at the front who would like to, who will pray with you. And as we leave, let's sing my favourite doxology, Now Unto Him.